Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome, everyone, to All Paws Pet Talk's Ask the Vets. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com or Karen at CatOfTheDay.com if you're a cat person, Karen at DogOfTheDay.com if you're a dog person. And we are here today with two of our veterinarian experts. We have Dr. Carol Osborne.
Good afternoon.
And we have Dr. Don Canfer.
And welcome to be. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. Glad to have you both. You know, I'm not a veterinarian, so when I get questions, I'm like, ah. So I'm so glad to have you and have this show around. Now, the first question we have this week is from Toby. He recently adopted a rescue cat. She is a Siamese female, and she stands up to pee. Is there any hope for him? She doesn't seem to mind it. She was doing it in her foster home also, and we got her anyway. She's always good about using the litter box. He always had open litter boxes before, but had to get enclosed for her. Why would she do this?
Well, Dr. Don, I'm going to throw that question right back to you because, quite honestly, I have never heard of a cat that is a female who stands up to pee.
I was going to do the same thing to you, Dr. Carol. I was going to say, you take it first because I have no idea.
Well, you know, she's a rescue and she's a Siamese, so they'll probably have to see a little doggy psychiatrist to figure that out. But the fact is, she's urinating and using her litter box, so maybe that's just her personal trait.
Now,
that's what makes her a unique kitty.
Could it be something like she's not secure, and so she's standing up? So, because if you crouch to pee, then you're a little more vulnerable.
Well, at some point, it became a learned behavior. I mean, at some point, for some reason, the cat urinated in that position. It obviously worked for her, and that's just the way she continued to do it. And she doesn't know that she needs to do it in a different position. So that's just her way of urinating. And like Dr. Carol says, you know, as long as she's urinating normal amount of times a day, not going outside the box, no blood in it, no straining, that's just her normal.
Okay. We will tell Toby what he should do is not worry about it.
Exactly. Love your kitty and enjoy the day.
Yes. Okay, our next is also a cat question. Tracy in California says, can you ask why Alani and Blaze cannot tolerate canned food? They love it, but it always gives them diarrhea or very loose stools. My vet suggested that I mix water with canned food, but this didn't work either. They now eat a grain-free food, and they also get some chicken broth every night.
Well, you know, the bottom line is if you are a dog, a cat, or a human, and if you eat something, no matter what it might be, and it doesn't agree with you, it gives you a stomach ache, it makes you vomit, in this case, it gives you diarrhea, that's a very simple way that your body says, it doesn't agree with me, let's try something else. So what they've done is they've gone from a fatty canned food to a diet that sounds a lot better and much more wholesome. And they're eating it just fine with no problems, so I think they've found their solution.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, it's odd that canned food, because generally canned food, for cats anyway, are better tolerated than, you know, the dry foods. They're more natural for them. They may want, if they've been feeding consistently the same brand, they may just want to try a different brand of food. Or even a different lot number. You know, there may be something in that particular batch of food or that particular brand of food that disagrees with them. And another possibility would be to rule out pancreatitis. She did say it was both cats doing this?
Yeah, both cats. She has several cats. And it's just these two. Well, they're all rescues, so.
Right, but Dr. Down, they're not vomiting. That's not pancreatitis. It's greasy, crummy cat food that was too rich for them.
Okay. That's probably it.
Okay, well, let's move ahead to another one. And, you know, I think somebody ought to make a book called Congratulations, You Have an Old Dog, because a lot of the questions we get are for older animals. And Phoebe is the 12-year-old lab shepherd mix. She's been to the vet several times with allergies lately. In the last year or so, her eyesight has failed somewhat. She has cataracts, and her hearing has diminished some. She's still fairly active, loves her ball, and loves to play. She used to be a rather aloof, standoffish sort of dog, but now she's very clingy to her owner, follows her everywhere in the house, lays in the bathroom while she's getting ready for work, is insistent with chewies, and she wants to eat everything now. She'll eat cat food, sheep food, goose food, and everything. Any idea what's going on with poor Phoebe? Lou is a little concerned.
Well, if Phoebe were my dog, I would take her to the veterinarian. She's a senior citizen. She's got some health issues that are very apparent. I would run a complete blood profile as well as a urinalysis and a fecal, and I would evaluate the entire dog so that I could address whatever underlying issues might be there causing the dog to have a what sounds like a very increased appetite, something that might occur with a disease like Cushing's, for example. She is clingy. She's worried about being alone. We call that a little bit of separation anxiety. Not an uncommon situation at all. With respect to cataracts, it's important to have your veterinarian examine your elderly dog's eyes, because just looking at your dog's eyes, if they get that little bluish tint, grossly it mimics a cataract. But lenticular sclerosis is a normal aging change of the lens fibers of the eyes, which does transmit light. Consequently, it does not affect vision. Cataracts, on the other hand, the lens fibers of the eyes no longer allow light to be transmitted. Consequently, blindness occurs, which can, of course, be corrected with a lens implant. So those would be the two situations there. As far as her hearing being diminished, my hearing is diminished as well. We don't have hearing aids for dogs, but, you know, dogs are kind of like kids. They have very selective hearing. So I don't think I would worry about that.
And so do you think it's just the vision that's causing her to be really, really, really clingy?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. So that's probably part of something else.
In other words, as I initially recommended, a complete senior dog blood workup with urine to find out what, if anything, is causing the underlying issues.
Yeah, and okay. That's good advice. You want to make sure there's no medical problem there.
Exactly.
One that might endanger the dog's, you know, life, and two, there may be something that has a simple fix or something that can be addressed. But, you know, with failing senses as they get old, you know, you're dealing with a little bit of senility, and you're also dealing perhaps with, you know, that loss of attachment to the world. They're now feeling, and the owner represents that bond of security for them. So it's understandable.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll tell Lou that, you know, we are running out of time for this segment. You know, and it's just that Phoebe is a lab shepherd mix. She's not a dog you can easily step over when she's trying to be with you every second. You know, folks, we are running out of time for this segment. We will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vet. Now, a person I only know, she's a member of our forum on Pet Talk on petoftheday.com, so I only know her name as iRescue. But she is in Wisconsin. And she said, I'd like to ask about flea medications because so many of them are changing active ingredients. I just bought some today after looking through all sorts of options. I chose to stick with the pyrethroid family since it's been around longest, and my dogs have never had an adverse reaction to them. I got phenothrin, though, which I've never used. The oral toxicity is 10,000 milligrams per kilogram in laboratory rats. I'm a little wary of trying fipronil on my dogs, which is the current popular stuff, because it is way more toxic, 97 milligrams/kilogram oral toxicity. Has anyone been using fipronil products? Have you had any problems?
Well, fipronil is the active ingredient in Frontline, and it's been around a long time. The only animals that it has really bad toxic effects on are rabbits. When it first came out, a lot of us veterinarians, like most of us are wont to do, you know, we started experimenting it extra-labelly on other critters. And, of course, you know, down here in Florida anyway, rabbits get fleas on them as well. And we didn't take very long to kill off a bunch of rabbits before we realized that it would not work on them. And there's no antidote for it. They will die from it. But it's a very safe product. One of the reasons it's been modified a lot is because it's lost some of its effectiveness over the years. Whether the fleas have actually built up immunity to it or not is a matter of conjecture. But the fact is that they've been tinkering with it. They've been coming out with new versions of it, adding additional chemicals to it like Ametrat and things to try to make it more effective, because it has lost a lot of its effectiveness, at least anecdotally. But it is a safe product. I would not be hesitant to use it on an animal. It's just that most of my clients find that it's just not very effective anymore, at least in our part of Florida.
Yeah, and, you know, it depends on the age of the dog, the breed of the dog. As Dr. Don mentioned, if you've got a Sheltie or a Collie, they're extremely susceptible to ivermectin, you know, so you want to stay away from ivermectin-based products. So, again, you know, a nice conversation with her veterinarian to allay her fears and answer her questions. But again, if she's been using a product, it's working and it's effective. If it's not broke, why fix it?
Right. I know she has one toller, Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever. The name is bigger than the dog. And one smaller mix. So no collie, though I don't know if the tollers are susceptible like the collies are to the ivermectin. Now,
yeah, collies, Shelties and collies are susceptible to the ivermectin.
Yeah, fortunately, ivermectin is not an active ingredient in most flea control products. It really has no effect on the fleas.
Yeah, so it's more for the heartworms and mosquitoes.
Not an issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to kitten questions. Now, Simon is someone who is new to our forum, but he recently got 2 10-week-old rescue kittens, Dixie and Tinkerbell. They had been starved within an inch of their life by their mother's owner, but were rescued. Dixie was the most loving cat you'd ever meet, and Tinkerbell the most playful, though she was a little shy of human contact at first. A month ago, Dixie got a running nose, and so they tried to treat that. And it turns out that Dixie was, where's the term here? Dixie had FELV and FIV. And so she had FELV and was so weak that by the time she was at the vet's, he said any treatment would have very little positive impact, and it was beyond their local vets. So they ended up letting her, you know, be put to sleep. Now they're worried about her sister kitten, and the vet said they should get Dixie. Dixie is the one who has passed away, and they're worried, should they get Tinkerbell tested for FELV, as they were sisters and they were together since birth?
Yes, they should. It's a contagious disease, and that makes pretty good sense to me.
Yeah, the FELV, for those of our listeners who may not be cat people, stands for feline leukemia virus. It's one of the older retroviruses that have been around. And, it's a very insidious disease because it spreads from animal to animal, not even by direct contact. They can spread it through sharing water bowls, food bowls, litter boxes, licking and grooming one another. Even cats that come up to a window and they hiss and spit at one another across a screen that can transmit body fluid from one to the other. Cats that live in close proximity, you know, that like to lay together and groom one another, they're licking each other, will spread the virus. So it's a very insidious disease. And yeah, you want to get that other cat tested yesterday.
Yes. Okay, so it's nothing that he said, you know, they never scratched each other. You never saw any blood when they were playing, but
not
if they were playing together, yeah,
not
okay.
Necessary.
It's more contagious than having to have.
Fortunately, the virus does not, you know, survive outside of the body
right.
for a very long time. But still, you know, if they eat together out of the same bowl, lick each other, lay next to each other, share water bowls, share litter boxes, one goes in the litter box and the other one goes in the litter box and they can out lick their paws. There's a million ways they could have shared this virus. And the sooner they get it tested, the better they'll be in a position to do, you know, take maybe some preventative steps.
And is FELV a death sentence for a kitten, or is it possible that she could survive without symptoms because she's bigger and more playful and doesn't look sick?
There are very, you know, healthy asymptomatic carriers, and there are cats that are, you know, clinically affected with feline leukemia. So, again, none of us have a magic looking glass, but
right.
certainly before you put your heart and your soul and your love and your hard-earned dollars into a pet that you hope to be, you know, to stay with you for many, many years to come, the first thing to do is to make sure that that potential exists by having your pet examined and properly tested at your local veterinarian.
Right. And, you know, and even if the cat, you know, does survive for years, and we, you know, as veterinarians, we all had the patients who, you know, some of them have lived for 15 years with the virus in their system and never sick, and some of them, you know, die within a year or two. And as Dr. Osborne said, there's no way to predict. But if you do care about them, it is very important to know the status of your cat, not only for your cat's health, but the fact that they can represent a danger to every other cat they come in contact with, particularly if you have a cat that you allow outside or if you have a home with multiple cats in it. You really want to know the status of every one of them.
Okay, and I think they're sort of in the mindset that if we don't know, then maybe she'll be okay, but that's not the case. Knowing is better than not knowing, whatever the answer is.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we've only got about a minute left, and so I'm gonna start you with a question, and somebody recommended using something called transfer factor for cancer in their cat. Have you heard of it? Do you know what it is? I have no idea. Doesn't sound like a medication to me. Is this one of those internet things?
No, this is just a fancy name for something called colostrum. Colostrum is something that we get from the mother's first milk when we're born, when we suckle or when we nurse. It provides a source of antibiotics that protects us until our own immune system can kick in at some point in time after about 16 weeks of age. And as we age and you're looking for various things to build immunity, colostrum is one of many things that's available at retail online as well as through your veterinarian that may be used as a natural supplement to try to boost immunity.
Excellent. And, you know, folks, I'm going to cut you off there, Dr. Carroll. We are running out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more of All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. Now, we have a guest with us today, which is something unusual for Ask the Vets. We have with us Cal Ori, and her book is Olive Oil, Honey, and Vinegar, and she's going to talk about that and its benefits for pets. Did I get that in the right order, Cal?
No. No. It's the Healing Powers series. It actually turned into a series. Back in 1999, I wrote The Healing Powers of Vinegar, and since then it took off, and it became a series of 5 books. But for pets, it's best we keep it to the vinegar, olive oil, and honey, even though the 2 others are chocolate and coffee. Definitely no-nos for dogs and cats.
Yes, I had a friend whose pointer once ate part of a Christmas present that was chocolate-covered cappuccino beans, and she was a very sick and very shaky puppy for the next 12 hours.
Yeah, I have anecdotes about that. My 2 Britneys got into my gourmet chocolate, dark chocolate truffles from Italy. Not fun on a Sunday. No, we had to call ER and do a home remedy, thank God. But and we caught it immediately. We just didn't know which Britney ate it. They both looked at us like, not me, not me.
You know, dogs do have that there are some that look guilty no matter what happens, and there are some that have perfected the innocent look no matter what happens. You know,
right.
They can have shreds of the Kleenex box on their fur and claim it wasn't them.
Well, I'm curious. You need to explain to me the olive oil part. You know, I can understand the honey and the vinegar. That does have medical uses. But olive oil is a new one for me. So maybe you can elaborate on that.
Well, olive oil can be used internally. Some pet companies actually use olive oil in little pet treat recipes. But olive oil can be used externally as well. I don't know if you saw the movie City of Angels with Meg Ryan and Nicolas Cage. I remember seeing that where, she has a yellow lab, and her doctor boyfriend noticed that the dog had a tick on the body, and she didn't have any rubbing alcohol in her home, and he said, you can use olive oil. So instead of using alcohol or a match, they just put rosemary olive oil on it and took the tick out that way, which I thought was awesome. You know, it was always scary when we were in the woods and one of my dogs would get a tick. You know, lighting a match, he always kind of winced like, oh, my God, what if I burn the dog? But with a natural olive oil, how cool is that?
Well, yeah, you know, when you mentioned movies, I just happened to watch Ben-Hur the other day for the umpteenth time. And of course, you know, the scene at the end, you know, the gladiators and all the blood and the gore. And I remember reading, there was actually an article in one of the veterinary journals not too long ago about this resurgence in the use of honey in treating wounds. And that's where it got its start, was the Romans used that. You know, they didn't have antibiotics and modern medicines that we did, but honey was a major anti-infective for the Roman soldiers and the gladiators back in the 2000s.
Yeah, funny you say that. I have the honey book turned right to that page, but it's Manuka honey. That's really strong honey with antibacterial potency in different honeys. And I interviewed the guru that actually coined the term the UMF, unique Manuka factor, in that, and that's the strength of it. And you can actually use that on topically for pets, dogs and cats, on, you know, superficial wounds, but it's being used on people even in hospitals in the United States, but definitely abroad and down below in Australia and New Zealand. I have a lot of it in my cabinet. I've used it you know, on scrapes, and I think I was last summer I was bit by a wasp. That is painful, let me tell you. It is toxic and it hurts. I called my doctor. They didn't know what to do. They just said, grin and bear it. It'll be, you know, the pain will subside. I tried everything, and you know what? I went to the topical Manuka honey that was sent to me. I have a lot, like I said, and that took away the pain. It could have been because I tried everything else, and then finally it did subside, but I'm going to give credit to the honey. I mean, obviously, if your pet has something, you know, serious, you're not going to do that. You're going to take it to the vet. But if it's something superficial, it's definitely worth a try and not toxic at all.
Very interesting. What about the animal? Of course, you know, cats like to lick off anything you put on them, particularly if it's sweet and sticky. Is that an issue?
No, not really. I would go with a Manuka factor 10 or less. I was on a show a week ago, and it was funny. The host said that they did the Manuka factor internally, a human, at 15, but he lived. I mean, he sounded fine on the show. So, no, I don't believe it's toxic. I would not, I have not ingested the Manuka honey. I prefer other types of honeys. There's so many varietals of honeys, though. I mean, there are so many. Like, I live in Lake Tahoe, and 50 miles from us is 50 miles away from us is Reno, and alfalfa honey is very prevalent there, and that can be used for allergies on humans. And I was asked last week, could that be used on pets with allergies? I'm not really talking about food allergies now. I'm talking about sneezing, that type of thing. And I would say probably, because it's a homeopathic type of remedy. And that's why you want to get it close to home, the same pollen that you're getting, you know, with a radius, again, of 50 miles. But, you know, neither of my dogs or cats seem to have allergies. I definitely do, and I'm not looking forward to this season. We get a lot of the yellow pollen where you could see it for about a month. And I've read that pollen's going to be terrible, you know, all around the nation this year because of the wacky weather.
I can vouch that it's very bad here up in the Northeast. I have a dark green car that has had a faint yellow haze to it for the past couple of weeks till I finally gave in and took it to the car wash.
Yeah, I know. Now you're getting me thinking about how I always hose off the deck every day. It just, you know, you think, why do it? But then how can you live like that? It really gets thick up here. It does. It does.
Well, you've touched on the olive oil and on the honey. How about something about the vinegar?
The vinegar, for topical use, it's amazing. It's so versatile. For you cat people out there, I have used it cleaning the cat litter box. You know, sometimes I don't like to use dish detergent. You never know what's in it, even though I usually have natural products at my home. But by using white distilled vinegar, it definitely can get rid of the odor. And it's natural, so you know that it's not going to hurt kitty at all. And the same, if anybody has little bunny rabbits, the same deal with bunny boxes. Use white distilled vinegar. Also, I have two fish aquariums, and I used white distilled vinegar the other day. You know, both my aquariums, I cannot believe that. Usually my fish are so healthy and sparkling clean, but I got hit with that green water. Have you ever seen that in a fish aquarium?
Most certainly.
Oh, I could not believe it. I kept calling my pet store, and they said, oh, just wait it out. Then I tried the 72-hour blackout remedy. That so does not work. Somebody wrote it on the Internet to do that, and don't peek. Whatever you do, don't peek. So I peeked probably 1,000 times. It didn't work, though. It did not work. And so I just went ahead and cleaned both tanks totally. And you know what? They're awesome. And all the fish are happy, and I'm happy, and I wish I would have done it sooner. So you can use it, again, when you're cleaning out a fish tank. Skunk odor. If your dog ever gets sprayed by a skunk, a lot of people, proponents of vinegar, say try rubbing vinegar on the coat of your furry friend. Whether it's a cat or a dog, I believe that it could maybe help get rid of the smell. But from what I've heard, people up here, it's a pretty nasty, nasty smell. I'm sure I would bathe my boys without a doubt. But I might use vinegar along with that in the bath, which, you know, again, because it's all natural, there's a good chance it could help get rid of some of the odor. Without
a doubt. You know, Cal? We are running out of time for this segment. Folks, we will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vet.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be Healthy Goo healthy.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. You know, this is going to be our last segment for this show, so I want to get in before I forget, which I do sometimes. If anybody has any questions for me or for any of our veterinarians or even for our guest, Cal, we have our website is allpawspettalk.com. That's A-L-L-P-A-W-S. pettalk.com. And if you go there, there's a form right there on the homepage. You have to scroll down a bit because, you know, not everybody has a question when they come to the page. And you can either specifically pick a person, or if it's a question, if it's a veterinary question, the producer is not going to send it to me. He'll send it to someone who knows what they're talking about with that. And I want to also give Cal a chance. Do you have a website if people want to find out about your healing series?
Yeah, I sure do. It's www.cal, like California, O-R-E-Y.com. There's lots of stuff there. And if you click on the categories on top about Cal, it takes you over to an earthquake website I have. Animals. A lot of people believe that animals can sense oncoming earthquakes. And I've been an earthquake intuitive for years and on national radio for that, where I use my animals. They give me a heads up before a quake. Because remember, I live in California. You know, we're supposed to fall off into the ocean.
That's right. And, you know, as a child, I thought it made sense that animals knew. After all, they've got four paws touching the ground at all times.
Right. Good point. Good point. Well, they're very, very sensitive. Not all. Not all can give signs, but a lot do.
Yeah, in China they use the chickens, I believe it is, to predict earthquakes.
And catfish, definitely catfish. And look at the Indian Ocean quake tsunami in 2004. I mean, all the animals ran, you know, up to higher ground, and so many people died. That's a lot of scientists believe they just felt the vibration of the tsunami, though. But still. We've got to give animals credit, although the USGS still doesn't believe it. They are unreliable, I have to admit. I mean, my dog could be barking one day. It could be a new dog next door, as far as I know, or it could be an oncoming quake. My dogs and cats have had hits, but they've had misses as well. So I do understand with the government. They're not 100% accurate, but then neither are humans, you know?
That's right. And I was always taught, even as a small child, if you notice all the wild animals are running in one direction,
run with them.
Well, you know, I've always attributed it to their ability to sense, you know, the very low-frequency sounds, because generally low-frequency sounds, such as vibrations from the earth, would signify the approaching of a predator or something, you know, that would overrun them, overwhelm them. And so most animals' instincts, I believe, when they would feel low-frequency vibrations, particularly from the ground, would be to run. Just like, you know, the animal, when the thunderstorms approach, most of the animals, I have always attributed it to, one, the drop in the air pressure, you know, the change in air pressure they're sensitive to, and they can hear the low rumblings of the thunder long before we can, which is why they will tremble and salivate before a thunderstorm, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before we become aware of it.
And you're in Florida, so you get thunderstorms a lot, right?
Oh, yes, and every remedy you can think of is sold in stores, veterinary clinics. They have now the latest thing of these Huggy blankets or Huggy t-shirts.
But you know what? The best remedy, really, instead of buying that stuff, is desensitizing your animals to begin with, if you're lucky enough. Because we get the awesome thunderstorms in Tahoe every summer, but my dogs, they don't pull a Marley and me, you know, hiding and everything. They just think it's part of the routine. And what I do, I still do it, and for my little Aussie puppy, I'm going to start doing it. I just turn up the sounds and act like everything's normal, and then when we get a bolt of thunder or lightning, I just totally act like, hey, it's normal. But if I start, you know, coddling them, oh, poor puppy, you know, then they're going to feed into that and get all excited and act out. So if you go the other way, reverse psychology, it seems to work.
Oh. You know, and those are all, yeah, thanks.
You get some terrible storms up there. What do you do?
We do. Something that I would like to add to the conversation is that pets have something called a sixth sense. Because of an organ called the vomeronasal gland. And what that does is it allows the inside of the dog to connect with things on the outside that you and I are not as perceptive to. So, you know, why do they use dogs, for example, to predict earthquakes, you know, and all kinds of natural disasters? Because of this gland and because of the electromagnetic ions within, within the dog, they are able to connect to the electromagnetic ions, et cetera, in the atmosphere. And that's what they use not only to predict earthquakes and natural disasters, but they also use that to let people know when they're going to have a heart attack, an epileptic seizure, a diabetic incident, if you will. So muffling the sound and all those things are very good, and I think everyone's points were very valid. But muffling the sound and this and that alone is not going to prevent a dog or a cat, if you will, from sensing that something is impending. And that's, in fact, the same sense that's used for all these animals, even the Walt Disney movie, when dogs and cats find their way home, you know, after they've been gone for months or years at a time.
Oh, and homeward bound.
All
the homing instinct, without a doubt.
And
the
sense.
Right. Everything you said is in the book I wrote, The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes. I have chapters and chapters about exactly what you said. You could have written the book. That was very well done. I'm impressed. That was on my brain, but you said it very well.
I often think that our pets must think that we're, you know, handicapped, because they hear and they smell so much better than we do, that they must just think we're just poor little ignorant creatures.
Well, I think they help us. You know, it's really funny. My dogs, I say they have little watches on their paws, because when my brother comes home, we always take them for a long, long walk. And they know 10 minutes before, I swear they know. Same with my cat. I have a Siamese cat. He knows when I'm coming home from, you know, wherever I go. He just watches me, and it's amazing how they can sense that. And there's been books written about that and the homing instinct, and of course I touch on that as well. But, yeah.
Now, you were talking about vinegar. I want to get back to that a little bit. Is it ever used internally for anything or just for cleaning? I know I had a rabbit for 11 years.
It sure is. In the book, I do discuss how it can help. Some holistic veterinarians believe it can be a fat blaster. I've never had an obese dog, but I've never used apple cider vinegar. That's the one you would use in a bowl of water. Someone said last week, how do you know if they would drink it? True, add 1 tablespoon apple cider vinegar to your cat or dog's water bowl. Some dogs may not. I don't like vinegar personally, apple cider vinegar. It's a very tart, it's an acquired taste, so I'm not so sure. Some dogs will drink anything. You know, back to the chocolate story, one of my Brittany's drank the peroxide. The other one looked at me like you're crazy. So it depends. It really depends.
Years ago here in Florida, when I first started practicing back in the early 80s, everybody was saying similar thing. Put a tablespoonful of vinegar in the dog's water for flea control. And as you can imagine, it didn't do anything for the fleas.
It's probably safer to just move up to the mountains where you don't have fleas, at least in Tahoe. But no, I take that back. Don't come here. We're on shoulder season, no tourists. It's wonderful. Also internally, you can use it to boost the immune system. I kind of believe that, because it does help people. Proponents of vinegar, they believe that it can help stave off toxins in the body. Again, holistic veterinarians, they suggest putting 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in your dog or cat's water bowl. Research shows that the powerful vitamins, I don't know if there's that many vitamins in this natural remedy, help and do the damage.
Well, you know, Kel, we are out of time for this week's show. I want to thank you so much for being our guest, and thanks, Dr. Carol and Dr. Dawn. And we will be back next week with more All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets.